Welcome to Pure Hustle Podcast. I'm Mike.
And this is Orlando, and we're on episode 393. And this is our eBay wish list episode.
Yeah, you know, maybe Mike, we should have saved this one for 400, you know, because it's kind of a big deal. Because we are like, we're like complaining a little bit about eBay, which is, you know, I would say it's nothing new. But at the same time, I feel like we go 50-50. There's a lot of times where we're very positive about eBay and the direction eBay is going. And then there's times where we're like, let's be realistic here. There are some issues. But it's been a little while since we've done one of these eBay wish lists, right?
Yeah, it was kind of fascinating because I thought about doing this, and because I've been thinking about just latest things that have been bugging people on eBay, or things that we feel that by now eBay should have taken care of, or just, you know, we know eBay listens, at least I hope they listen, and maybe this will help them out too. And again, I don't have all the answers, but, you know, I was thinking about this. It's been 2 years. Like, I'm looking at the date here, and it's actually April of 2022 when we last did this. So I'm like, you know what? It's time for us to do this now. Some of the ones we're going to talk about are things that we actually talked about last time that actually never happened. And so we're bringing some nuance, and we'll mention which one those are. But It's been an interesting ride with eBay lately. If you didn't catch our live lately, we were talking about how eBay's facing pretty, you know, I would say good competition, especially in the UK. And that's why they dropped their selling fees on clothing. That's what people are saying. eBay put it under the terms of sustainability. But everybody who sells on eBay in the UK was like, no, they're facing the competition. But if you want to hear more about that, check out our live that we just did this past Monday to hear more about that. All right, before we get started, I know everyone wants to know what your thoughts are, because you are in Texas, the place where all this happened, at least in North America. Yeah. I know that was very American-centric of me, but you guys had the biggest eclipses of all time. So real quick, before we get into the real deal stuff, what was that like?
Yeah, man, it was cool. I'm glad we're talking about this now and not on the update, because, you know, that might be when we typically tell stories, but it'll be kind of old at that point. But, man, it was cool. We've seen in our lifetimes, I'm sure you have, I know in San Diego, there have been a handful of like partial eclipses. So you get the little glasses or whatever. If somebody has like a welding glass or something, you hold up, and that's kind of cool. Maybe if it's like a pretty good partial eclipse, like it'll seem like it's getting a little bit dimmer outside. But I always feel like those are more just kind of like, oh, that's kind of neat. It's kind of a cool thing to see like a little bit of the sun blocked out. But I did not know what to expect for this total eclipse. I mean, I knew it would get dark. I guess in my mind, it was just going to be like pitch black. Like it was going to be like it was nighttime for 4 minutes during the day, which I thought that's really, really cool. But right where I'm at in Central Texas, my city is like on the line of the longest amount of time of total eclipse. So we had like 4 minutes and like 17 seconds or something like that of total eclipse. And it was a trip, because I'm watching my whole family. We're all outside. We all have glasses. We're all hanging out in the backyard. And as it's getting closer, because, you know, it was a good like almost hour of like it leading up to, we had partial eclipse, like getting more and more and more and more towards total for like a good almost hour or just over an hour. And so it's like,
were,
oh man,
look at
people
outside with you.
No, we were in our backyard, but like our city had like something crazy, like an extra, we only have a little over 100,000 people in our town, and like an extra 100,000 people came.
Wow.
To watch this. But, so yeah, you're watching the sun get less and less, to the point where it's just a sliver, right? Like, you know how like when you see the moon and the moon is just like a sliver of the moon, like that was the sun looking through the glasses. And as we're watching where it's like, oh, now it's like smaller than a sliver. It's just like a little dot left. And the next thing you know, there's no more, not strong enough light to see through the glasses. So I pulled my glasses away, and like, I was not prepared for what I saw. Like just instead of like normally you look at the sun or even through the glasses, it was like a yellow or like an orange, bright orange tint. This, like when you pulled the glasses away, it's just like a pure white ring with like a black, it's dark, like black center. I mean, you could look up pictures of what the eclipse looked like, but you could look at it without the glasses. Once it went to that point, you could pull your glasses away and you could look, and you just saw this white ring surrounding like a pitch black where the moon was. And it was just the coolest thing, just for, it was probably a little, it's like almost a mile and a half away from me is where like a lot of the party stuff was happening. And as soon as it went to that total eclipse, you could just hear this roar of cheers. Like everyone's cheering. And wow. It was, it was unlike anything I've seen before. I guess I didn't know what to expect. I just thought, oh, it's going to be dark, like nighttime. But it was way cooler than that. It was such a cool experience. So I'm really happy for all of the people who got to experience that. In our Discord, I saw a lot of people were talking about, you know, their kids getting out of school, if they were in the path of totality or near the path of totality, so they could experience it. So it was kind of cool, even on like our reselling chat, to have people talking about the eclipse. So, you know, hopefully some of our listeners got to experience that. It was definitely unlike anything I'd seen before.
That's just crazy. No, because, you know, here in San Diego, I was teaching my homeschool classes at that time, and I thought, oh, maybe we'll go outside. And I'm like, nah, like we didn't see anything. There's nothing to see. But I saw the videos and I was like, wow, this is pretty incredible. Well, I'm glad you got to experience that. And you know what? Our first eBay wishlist item, hopefully it happens before the next eclipse of that kind.
Yes.
So yeah, eBay,
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know, the funny thing is we're all alive. We're all here. Like, what I love the most, and I know this is off topic still, but going on social media and hearing all the conspiracies, like from every single angle, that there's going to be an eclipse of energy, that there's going to be, you know, watch out. Like last night at 12:30 in the morning, and by the way, we record these on Monday. I was on my phone. It's like, make sure that your phone isn't around you during the eclipse, because, you know, you might get radioactive waves. And there was just all this craziness. And I told my oldest, and I said, remember this whenever something like this happens again in 20 years, how crazy people get. And remember how nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened.
Y2K, so, 2012 Mayan calendar,
Y2K.
Man.
Yes, Y2K.
Good time.
When I worked undercover security at Macy's, they paid us, I think they paid us like $40 an hour. And that was a lot of money back in 2000 to just sit in the store overnight. We boarded all the windows. We did everything. And we just had a party in there. Like, it was the easiest money we ever made. It was incredible. So I think about that. And so I'm thinking, you know, eBay, you got about 140 years till that next kind of eclipse shows up. And hopefully we get this thing care of. And you all know what I'm going to say. Top on the eBay wish list, and I can never put it any lower. They got to take care of immediate payment on offers. And I know we rant about this all the time, but it's a legitimate claim. I you know, it's the reason this hit me even harder in the last few weeks is I'm cross-posting now. And, you know, I've been cross-posting on Poshmark. I've been cross-posting on Mercari. I've been using Vendu. Vendu's been our, you know, our latest sponsor on things. And if you haven't used our code PureHustle, go to the link below. You get 25% off the first month. But, you know, as I've been selling stuff, I'm getting paid right away. And I'm like, what? How normal does this feel? Like, I'm not getting an offer and going, huh? Like, the beauty about Poshmark, when it comes to offers, is the moment you accept the offer, you get an email in your inbox with the shipping label because they paid right away. Right? I've had recently, I just had a $100 sale on remember that old, in Toy Story, it was that microphone guy, you know, the microphone toy. I forget what he's called. You know, that walks or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, and you know, I was like, sweet, like $100, you know, I paid like less than $1 and I couldn't wait to get paid. And sure enough, I didn't get paid. Right. And they're asking to cancel. And I've had, you know, everybody has these stories. And I'm just like, this is so weird. I sold something on Amazon the other day. And guess what? I got paid out before I even shipped the item. And that's rare, because on Amazon, usually it's like 2 weeks before you get paid. But my due date to get paid out was on Saturday. The item sold Saturday morning. And so I printed the shipping label. And so Amazon pays you out the moment you print out a shipping label. And sure enough, you know, I printed that out at 9 a.m. I got paid out at 12 noon and I shipped the item on Monday. Right. Cause that's normal business. Like no one is able to lay claim to anything for an extended period of time unless they do some kind of layover. I don't know. Maybe eBay needs to do some kind of, people are getting me saying this, but some kind of layaway. Like if you actually accept an offer, but you don't pay, you got to at least put a deposit in. Right. And maybe you lose the deposit. I don't know what the solution is. I thought by now they'd be able to figure it out. But man, this is number one. I don't know. Do you disagree?
No, I mean, I think that's a big deal. I mean, part of it is just because it's like we've been asking for this for so long. We've been told multiple times that it should be coming. Right. So I think that's what makes it so hard. I think some things it's like it's a wish list and it's great. But when you're kind of told like, yeah, you're going to get this. I mean, You know, like when you tell your kid something, you tell your kid like maybe they might get something. It's like a blood oath to them. Like, can we get ice cream? And they're like, maybe. But like if you said yes, like probably sometime soon, and then like it's coming nighttime and then next day and you still haven't got them ice cream, like they're going to be throwing a fit. And I feel like that's where we're at. It's like they've kind of told us like, yep, it's coming. It's don't worry. Yeah.
No, I mean, like we're not throwing fits for illegitimate, you know, like sometimes the kid doesn't understand, but we're running businesses, right? eBay's running a business. Like I always joke around about what if, you know, one day we just, you know, we can't do it, but what if one day we're like, hey, by the way, we're going to use eBay for a month, but we're not going to pay for our subscription and we're not going to pay for our fees. We'll pay you when we can. Like eBay wouldn't be okay with that, right? That would not be all right, but yet it's okay for them to do this. Like it just doesn't make sense. So I don't know. I don't want to add anymore. I think it's pretty, you know, easy to understand like why this is on our wish list. Immediate payment on offers. Yeah. All right. Now I want to hear. That's a good
one. I think. Okay, yeah. So the next one. So we always talk about giving good customer service, right? Like it's important as resellers that we're providing good customer service. And one of the ways you can do that is sometimes you gotta eat your shirt and you ship something and the customer is upset. Maybe you had no fault in it at all and they want to return it. They're angry and you do all the steps, right? You're willing to accept the return. And then you do that. You say, go ahead, return it. I'll pay for the shipping back. Go ahead and send it back. I'll refund you. And then they never do. They never return it, which is great because then you're like, sweet, I got some good money here. You know, and they never ended up, you know, returning it. But then when they leave a negative feedback, that's frustrating, right? It's like you allowed the opportunity, you set up a return and they didn't follow through. I think at that point they should not be able to leave negative feedback, right? Because you've done the things, you've taken the steps you need to take. And if they returned it and wanted to leave negative feedback, all right, like maybe that's still frustrating. I think I'd still be frustrated. Like, man, I did all the things. But if they don't follow up with their end of the bargain, I think that like we should not be getting hit again, you know?
No, agreed. And I think even if eBay wants to tier this and make it maybe only for top rated sellers, which they used to do it like a year ago. I remember if you offer free returns and somebody left you negative feedback, but they never reached out to you, they didn't leave you any kind of message, then they would remove the feedback. And eBay is done. eBay's done doing that. And actually somebody on the Discord had just mentioned that they were listening on eBay for Business that, you know, they're no longer going to do that. And to me, that creates a very bad scenario because now I'll be real with you, and I've been talking to the resellers, the only way you can get that feedback revision done is, you know, you can ask nicely, but chances are like people don't care. But if you, I don't know how to say this, if you override them with guilt, if you refund them and then you give them a coupon and then you tell them about like why you do this and blah, 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 then maybe you'll get lucky. So you're pretty much like paying to get that feedback removed. It's crazy. To me, eBay has put us sellers, especially us that have been around for, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, maybe even 1 year. If you have great feedback for 1 year and you've been doing everything you can and you have great metrics, like it is kind of ridiculous that eBay is saying, we're not going to remove the feedback. That's their opinion. And so, for example, my one neutral feedback, I finally got a neutral. Actually, it was a negative, and I turned it into a neutral. I sold the video game. Everything was working fine. It didn't work. How do I find out? I don't get a message. I don't get a return request. I just get, didn't work with my Xbox. Negative feedback. So I'm like, what? So I go on the eBay seller help, and I request it to be removed under technical issues because there is an option for technical issues. Now, I don't think they mean what I wanted it to mean, but I put, this is under technical issue. Item worked fine at my house, but when it was delivered, it did not work with their console. And then they rejected my, you know, removing my feedback. So I reached out to the person. I said, hey, I'm so sorry it didn't work out. Here's a refund. Here's a coupon. You know, I appreciate your business. Crickets. I didn't hear anything. All I got from this person was a day later, they did update it. And they just said, great case and manual, neutral. I'm like, what? I don't understand. Like eBay, it should be very easy for eBay to take a look at this and see that we did everything, right? And this is not just me. This is everybody. Because I'm pretty sure most people that listen to our podcast, they're sellers that try to go above and beyond with customer service. And I got to tell you, eBay, I'm talking to you directly. Like, you are really causing resentment amongst the reselling community by just being hands off and saying, you know what? It doesn't matter how good a customer service you do. We're just going to side with the buyer, regardless of you offering free. Why offer free returns? Why should we even offer that anymore? Right? There's no point in that because there's no win for us in that. There's no ability for us to make things right when a buyer says, you know what? I don't care what you do. I'm just going to leave you a negative feedback. So anyways, I'm full of rants today, but I do have good stories too. So stay tuned for those.
Oh, that's good.
All right. What about this one, Mike? So again, this is the danger that eBay is putting itself in by not taking care of things. So now that everybody's jumping to Mercari, not everybody, but a lot of people are jumping to Mercari because they have no seller fees. Everybody's recognizing Mercari's return policy. Now, this is a repeat. We actually said this back in 2022. We said eBay needs to implement this. So Mercari has a 3-day return policy where if a buyer gets it, in order to return it, they have to open up something within 3 days. And I think it's a great policy. One example, and I'm sure you have plenty of others to chime in here, is, you know, how many times do we get people that rent our stuff, right? They, you know, whether it's a suit, whether it's a jacket for an event. I've had, you know, Halloween, it happens all the time where, or people actually do this too. They'll buy it on eBay and they'll list it for more on their store. And if it doesn't sell in 29 days, they'll open a return request.
Yep.
So anyways, what are your thoughts here,
I mean,
Mike?
That's kind of it. I mean, the hard part is we talk a lot about the idea that when you say things like Mercari now offering returns for any reason, right? And one of the things you said about that is, well, that's the expectation. That's the way it is on eBay. That's just the way life is. Customers are kind of expect that. Therefore, it's not that big of a deal. You can almost say the same thing here because customers in general are used to long return policies. If I get something from Amazon, if I get something from Walmart, if I get something from Target, I've got at least 30 days, right? So the hard part is, as the buyer, I think buyers might lose some of that buyer confidence potentially if that window is much shorter, because the expectation across the board, every other platform. But you're right, like if it works for Mercari, and I think that as resellers, we would obviously love that because, yeah, I mean, there's times when, especially if it's a big sale, I mean, there's times where I sell something, it's a $300-$500 sale, and I'm excited and I want to put that money into capital and I'm ready to start buying new things. But I'm also thinking, okay, well, I'm not going to pay myself out on this yet because there's still time. Like they could open a refund. And so you're kind of waiting for that moment of like, okay, I'm past that point. So it would be much nicer if you had that shortened window for sure. Especially like you said, for items where people are clearly, they rent, they're trying to flip it themselves. I mean, heck, I've got some items that I've purchased at a store, like retail arbitrage. And I'm like, well, might as well list it. And if it doesn't sell in 30 days, I mean, maybe I take it back. I'm not sure, right? Like, so I know that there are certainly some of our customers doing the same thing. And I think it'd be beneficial if we had a shorter window, right? If that 3-day window became the norm. I just worry if that's not the norm on other platforms, we might lose some buyer confidence there.
Or what about this? I just thought about this. What about offer different seller protections based on your return policy? Right? So meaning like if you offer, you know, like they already did, but let's go back to it. You know, if you offer 3-day returns, you still get seller protections as to the fact that like they have to wait 3 days until they give you negative feedback or something. But if you offer like 30 days or 45 days or something, you get the ability to get maybe 2 negative feedbacks removed from your account. Or, you know, you get the ability that if they don't contact you or message you or anything, that you can get those removed. Like there has to be some incentive. What I feel right now is eBay, outside of saying, well, it'll end up higher in the algorithm and the listing, like eBay has been removing incentives. Like there's no win. Like remember top rated seller back in the day, if you're a top rated seller, you got 20% off final value fees. They cut it down to 10%. Okay. So when you put that together with the introduction of promoted listings, you're at a loss. Actually, you're not gaining anything. Like, okay, so I get a little bit higher in the algorithm with top rated seller. Yeah, but not necessarily, because if somebody else, you know, pays for a higher promotional rate, that doesn't matter because they're going to be on the same equal playing field with me, despite all the great customer service that I'm providing. So eBay has been pulling incentives, and they need to, maybe they don't need to do the 3-day, but there needs to be some kind of incentive to assure that, you know, sellers are being given the opportunity to be great sellers with good customer service. So yeah. Now, yeah, these are kind of, I'm waiting for the one where we completely disagree. That's going to be a good one, which I don't know if there are. I don't know if there are. All right. My reseller genie is something Mike and I both agree on. You know, taxes are so close. I mean, we're talking about less than 2 weeks away. And if you're stressing about your taxes, check out My Reseller Genie. It's a bookkeeping software made by resellers for resellers. You get 15% off the first month by using our link below in the code PUREHUSTLE. It's been awesome. It'll import all your eBay stuff from, like, I know for sure, the last 3 years, and Poshmark also. So you can, you know, deduct your shipping, deduct your fees, check your profit and loss. It's a great tool. So check out My Reseller Genie, link below, code PUREHUSTLE. All right, Mike, what's another one here that you see?
All right. So another one that's kind of a big one, and I think this is kind of a one that we've talked about a lot, because as resellers, we have to factor in a lot of things. It's one of the things we talked about when it came to the Mercari issue, was a lot of it just comes down to, we now have to factor in more when we make a listing to figure out, okay, what is the customer going to see? If I'm going to offer free shipping, okay, my price is going to reflect that. So we do a lot of those calculations. And one of the things that I think is really big is, when we send offers to people, we don't really have a lot of options when we send that offer. Like, I would like to be able to say, hey, here's the offer with free shipping. Because a lot of times customers will say something like that. I want it $20 with free shipping. Well, that's not always an option. So then you have to do the math. You're like, okay, well, I have this listed for $24, but I have $5.99 shipping. So then you have to kind of resend an offer instead of just accepting that, or kind of like adjusting that and sending it to them with a price that kind of reflects that. Or sometimes we've even done, depending on the type of conversation and what we're selling, where we will like make a new listing and send it to the customer with like bundles. So like maybe you want to like combine things together, or a different shipping option. So it would be nice when we send the offer that those could be options that we could send the customer. So then they see, this is now the new, basically, terms of conditions on this, that you're going to get it for this price with this shipping option, with this shipping price, or bundled together with these other items. Now, you would need it to be where it's not like clunky and not a whole bunch of extra things you have to do every time, because I like being able to bulk send offers. But there should be like an advanced, right? Like, you know how like a lot of features on things, it's like the basic, and then you can click on the little toggle and it will turn it to advanced mode. So that should be an option where you could then send it to people with those features selected. And then you're not having to like rework the whole listing, or kind of having to explain it. Well, I can't give you with free shipping, but I can offer it to you for this price with the shipping. And then it ends up being the price you want. And then hope that the customer is like understanding all of that. So it just seems like a simple thing to include, which would help, because they want us sending offers and selling items. So I would imagine it wouldn't be too difficult, and it would benefit everyone.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder about this, and I know like there's great people from eBay that we do talk to. We have, you know, I've on email, or I've been part of a seller panel, and you know, some do so, but I don't know if everybody that makes these decisions actually sell on eBay. Like, I would imagine, like, if there's somebody that consistently is selling on eBay, they would want this. Like, why wouldn't you? Because the free shipping is the craziest one all the time. Like, you end up having to tell them, oh, by the way, well, I'll charge you this much. Or you have to go into the listing and you have to revise the listing, right? And so, you know, that's just kind of one of the things that I don't understand. Like, it's, to me, it seems like a no-brainer to do. Now, this next one I need to explain a little bit. Because I don't know. Have you know this, right? How many times have you gone through your inventory and you find a bunch of things delisted? Has it happened to you? Or you sell something and then you can't find it, and then you found out that it sold like a year ago. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, for sure.
Right. So I was thinking about this because I have this happen at least once a week. And I know, you know, when it comes to like bookkeeping, this is why I use my reseller genie. I'm not as organized. But when it comes to organize my inventory so I can find it to ship out, I'm pretty organized. I make sure everything has a custom SKU label. I know where it's at. But it's interesting because, you know, how many times have I know for myself, I've had something sell and it's not there anymore. And then I find out, I go, you know, to orders from like a year or two ago, and I already sold it. And I'm like, what? Why is this? I'm kind of lost. Like, what happened? Did this sell? And then did I ship it out and then I somehow relisted it? Or did, you know, sometimes I do this when people accept an offer and they don't pay right away, I'll relist the item and wait for them to pay. And if they pay, I'll remove that listing just because I want to keep my listing live. I'll do that sometimes. So I do know it's operator. But there's times like I had in that last week, I've been reorganizing everything because now all the work from the flooding has been completed and I've had a chance to reorganize my eBay room, the podcast room, my garage and different rooms. And I'm finding stuff all the time that's delisted. And it would be nice if eBay had a way that you can automatically track your items in your listing. Like it would tell you first listed on blah, blah, blah. Sold on da da da, canceled on that. Like if all that information was like right there, right in front of you, because then you would know that if you know you sold something and it's sold already, you could be like, oh man, I don't know what happened, but I actually don't have this item. Instead of going out there and spending 30 minutes to an hour looking for an item, or something ends up, you know, delisted, and you know you don't get any kind of alert when it gets delisted. Like I don't know why there needs to be some kind of track. Am I making sense here?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know how often that happens for me. And again, I kind of got corrected on a podcast recently, and I'm totally agree with it, is that as a part-time seller, I see things less often than a full-time seller does. And the things I do see when I see it, it's less of a concern for me because it's just a one-off, you know? So maybe if I don't feel like I have that happen too much. There's definitely times where, you know, something sells, then it doesn't sell, or I start to pack it and then the buyer doesn't pay, or like a you know, send offer, or, you know, various things like that. Offer is accepted, I packed it, and or it got moved to somewhere else. But I wouldn't say it happens enough that I would fight for this feature, but it would be nice. The hard part, though, is like think about all of the, like the end listing and sell similar that we do. You know, I wouldn't say we do it all the time, but at that point, anything that was tracked with that item is now gone anyways. So it's a catch 22.
That is true. I don't know. I was kind of frustrated lately because I would say in the last week, I've had three items somehow sold already. And I had to, you know, contact the buyer and say, hey, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened, but somehow this item sold and it got relisted. I'm sorry about that. You know, I need to cancel transaction. Is that okay? And they say, yeah, no problem. Thank you for letting me on. Then I cancel it. But, you know, this is a consistent, I would say every month I deal with this at least once a month. I say it's at least once a week for me. And I know I'm on top of things. I know that, you know, I also know that I'm a human and I make errors, but I think there has to be a way. So, you know, or even like there should be kind of like a, how many days this item has been listed, right? And I know you can go to the listings and I know you can see the date and so on, but it would just be nice, like just a number, like this has been here for 140 days. This has been here for 385 days. This has been here for 999 days. Like it would just be nice because then maybe you could put some kind of end and so similar based on the number of days an item has been listed. And maybe that's already there. I don't know. I don't think it is. But it would be nice if you can somehow create some kind of field where you can choose all items that have been listed for over 60 days. I would like to end until similar to those items. And so if eBay could do something like that, I think that would be pretty awesome. So yeah. That's right.
Now
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So the next one I think would be pretty useful is, and I don't know exactly what it would look like, but Terapeak has been great, but it's been, you know, like you got to go somewhere else to get the Terapeak data, right? And then, okay, now they're trying to integrate and it's integrated into the app. Okay, great. Steps in the right direction. But it would be nice if like on the item itself, you could just kind of click and have access to the Terapeak information. So you could kind of see, because I mean, it already tells you like when you list an item, what the like kind of going rate is. Like this item typically sells for this much. Which when you're a new reseller, you often think like, oh, well, that's what I'm going to list it for. And it might give you suggestions for auction. But it'd be nice if you could just kind of click like a little option or button there and it just gives you that data. where you could see, oh, okay, like here, oh, yep, these are the items I'm selling. Oh, no, these are different. Oh, but there's one kind of like mine. And you could kind of see the trend rates. You could see what the sell-through rate is. And then even if they just kind of gave you that, now it would be difficult with, like, for instance, like think of that, the lantern you had, right? The sell-through rate on that lantern is going to be hard to tell. Now, if you're selling a certain type of shoe or you're selling a certain type of Pokemon card, that might be a little bit easier because, you know, there's lots of those. So you're not going to be able to have as accurate of a sell-through rate on like a very unique kind of collectible item, but it'd be nice if it can kind of give you like rating, you know, how Amazon will give you ratings on like how fast items are going to sell. If it could kind of just predict like, here's what this will likely take to sell at this price range. And if you up the price and even if it was just like kind of a, even if they just dumbed it down to that level and you could then go in and see advanced features again, if you wanted to, because I know eBay doesn't want to confuse the average, you know, reseller who's not trying to do all of this extra stuff. Maybe they're just first time reseller, but it would be nice to say like, hey, if I list this at $24 with free shipping, it might take 3 weeks to sell on average. This is what this is. But if I list it for $20, these tend to go for, you know, and this, and if it could kind of guesstimate, that might help people. And again, eBay wants items to sell. And so they might be, they might have the incentive to want to try and push that price point down a little bit, you know, just the items are moving quicker. But it would be nice to have something there where you can kind of see like, oh, this isn't, you know, this sells in X amount of weeks at this price, or this is an A ranking item or something, where you kind of have an idea when you're listing something, what the sell through is on it.
Yeah. And or
this is going to sit forever.
Yeah, I know. And I've spoken to eBay about this directly, and it was some great people that work over there in their therapy program and so on. And to me, it's like, I know you can't do it on every single item, right? Because, you know, like you said, the lantern, you can't. But let's say you're trying to sell Rain Spooner. It may not be able to give you a sell-through rate on a Rain Spooner San Francisco Giants Hawaiian shirt, but at least give me the sell-through rate on Rain Spooner, right? Or give me the sell-through rate on used Tommy Bahama. Give me the sell-through rate on used Danner boots or something to that effect, because that would be really helpful. You know, again, I don't expect it to be perfect, but something so you know that, like, wow, if I do pick up, let's say you pick up a Tommy Bahama shirt, right? Right now, people are picking up Tommy Bahama again, okay? So let's say you pick one up and it's not, there's nothing special about it. It's not like a Christmas edition. It's not embroidered. It's just a Tommy Bahama Hawaiian shirt. It would be nice if it told you that, you know what, in the last month, only 5 of 1,000 sold on these. If you got some kind of info like that, I don't know, what is that percentage? Is that, that's not 5%. That's what, 0.5%, right?
I don't know. I don't math that well, that fast.
Okay. Well, anyways, it's really low. So you would probably go, you know what? Yeah, I'm not picking this up. Even if it's for a dollar, I'm not going to pick this up because this is going to weigh my store down. But if you pick something like, you know, another generic brand, let's say you pick up Danner boots, right? And it tells you Danner boots, you know, out of the 1,000 listings, you know, you 20% of them sell within, you know, 90 days. Okay, that's a little bit better, you know, and you find, and yours is a good pair, right? It's Gore-Tex, it's combat, it's, you know, it's steel toe. You're more likely to pick it up. It would just be nice to have that instant info. Now, do I think they have that coming? I do. I did get that sense when I spoke to them that, you know, they thought it was a good idea too. You know, but we'll just have to wait and see. I don't know, but it would be the more information you can get when you're sourcing out in the wild, the better it is for you. All right. Hey, one of the great sources that we've had too is, the Discord. We love the Discord. We're actually going to share some things from Discord today. If you haven't yet signed up to help us out on the podcast, it helps keep the lights on. For $5.55 a month, go to our Patreon, patreon.com/purehustlepodcast, or go to the link below and you can help support the podcast. You can find us on all social media, Pure Hustle Podcast or Pure Hustle Cast on Twitter. And as Mike has just shown, if you have any comments, you got any things you want to wish on the eBay wish list, which, by the way, every comment gets you a free month of, well, not it doesn't give you a free month. Every comment gives you the opportunity to be in a drawing for a free month on my Reseller Genie. So let us know what your thoughts are. Next podcast, we're going to be showing who won for March for the free month of my Reseller Genie. But thankful to all of you that support us on the podcast and on YouTube and also on iTunes. All right. Are we ready to talk about some Hustle of the Week? Do we got some sounds here?
Yeah. Got a Got a new one here. Let's see how this one goes.
Yeah. All right. We dropped the big bucks on that one.
That's right. Hustle of the week. Like, even more produced. Like, we can't produce enough to match some of these hustles, man. These are some quality hustles here. So our first one comes from Flip for More on Instagram, which is a repeat hustler of ours. So bought a set of, I'm not sure how to pronounce that.
I think it's Albrecht
tools at an estate sale for $5, listed on eBay and sold in an hour for $210 plus shipping. Holy smokes. So that's the best kind of sale, and also sometimes the worst, because you're like, oh, did I underprice it? But man, when you can flip something that quick, it feels great. $5 to $210, that right there is hustle quality for sure.
Yeah, it is. All right, so this next one, there's a catch to it, okay? And my heart sank a little bit, so let me share this one. So this is from Myriad Thrifts from the Discord. Said, had a hustle of the week sourcing on Whatnot, but I bought a cute Mickey Mouse shirt from Orlando on Whatnot. I'm like, oh, cool. Like, somebody made some good money last Thursday. So if you haven't yet, tune in tomorrow, 10 a.m. I'm doing another Whatnot show. Just for fun, pay $2 plus shipping. What a deal. Did some research and first appeared to be an old Disney shirt, but then realized that the serial number on the second tag inside the shirt was part of a limited printing of only 100 shirts made for a convention in 1998. Blue one had... I know. The thing is, I do my research, but I missed this. Saw that a blue one had sold in December for $900 and no current listings. What? So listed mine at $1,500 with best offer. This is getting worse for me the more I read this. Had an offer last night for $1,100 and took it happily. Couldn't wait to share. So thank you, Orlando, for the great sourcing opportunity. And happy April Fool's Day. Whew. Some of you are listening to that and going, oh, man, Orlando, you sold a shirt for
cheering. They're in the background. They're like, yes, finally, Orlando. He got what was coming to him. but here's the thing. Like, you would be happy, though, right? I mean, you'd be bummed, but at the same time, you'd be happy.
No, I remember. I should never go on the Discord while I'm driving, okay? But, like, I'm driving, and I'm on the Discord, and I'm reading this.
You had a heart attack, a little mini stroke.
Well, what caught my eye on the Discord was a picture of the shirt. I'm like, wow. Somebody sold the same shirt that I have? That's crazy. I wonder what they sold it for. So I'm reading the story, and I'm like, what? I know I did my research. I know I checked WorthPoint, Google Lens. Like, I did everything.
What? You wouldn't do that with every shirt. There's no way.
No, but these I did because the I had a whole lot of vintage Disney shirts. Like, for example, I had a Fantasia one I sold for $250, another one I sold for $300. So I had valuable shirts in this pile. So it was worth it to me to do the research. And then I was like, when I'm reading this, I'm going, man, there's always somebody else that knows more than you. So it humbled me a little bit. I was like, there you go. Like, I didn't know enough. And then in my mind, you know, I'm going, I'm happy for Myriad Thrifts. Like, good for them. They figured it out. I never thought about checking a serial number. They did the work. They deserve it. I'm happy for them. So I was about to start typing how happy I was for them, because when you're driving, you don't read the whole thing. You just skim it. So I didn't read the April Fool's Day. So I automatically had like a paragraph for them, like, oh, that's so awesome. This is what reselling is about. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, it just takes somebody else finding something and you learn. So I'm really, you know, I'm so like happy for you that you figured it out. You made that money. Good for you. And then before I sent it, something made me reread this and I saw the April Fool's Day. I'm like, ah, got me. It definitely got me. So that was really good. So that's not like a hustle of the week, but it's an April Fool's hustle of the week a week later. So hopefully everyone enjoyed that story. All right.
I like it. All right. Our next one comes from Colin. Sent us an email. Said, hey, guys, I never thought I'd actually have a hustle worth sharing, but here it is. Real quick, before I read the rest of this, that is such a common thought, especially if you're kind of new to reselling. Maybe you kind of part-time resell like me. You can kind of think like, oh, I'm not going to I'm not going to, those deals are never going to happen to me, the, where I pay $5 and I can make several thousand dollars. Like, that just doesn't seem to happen to people like me. But you never know. Like, you, if you do it long enough, those deals do come. Like, I mean, it, I've had many, many, I share a hustle of the week every time, but most of mine aren't like high quality hustles, but I've had my fair share. Right. And I'm only a part-time reseller. So I just want to say right off the bat, Colin, that's a very common thought process, but don't feel that way. Like, if you're out there grinding, those opportunities come. All right, so here it is. My wife and I were sourcing at the local thrift when she picked up a paper-sized leather box with 8 velveted slots inside. She showed it to me and asked if I knew what it was. I gave it a glance and thought maybe a fancy cigar case or a pin box. She said, well, whatever it is, it's really well constructed. Suddenly, bells went off in my head. Does it have a brand on it? I asked. Sure. Sure enough, it did. I quickly did a comp search on eBay and was blown away by what I saw sold. Immediately, we put the box in the cart and bought it for $1. I listed it the next day, and within a week, it was sold for $800 plus shipping. The case was indeed a pin case that held 8 pins. The brand was Mont Blanc. Yes, I love Mont Blanc. The lesson for me was that no matter how insignificant an item seems, it feels like quality. It's worth the extra time to research. Love the show. Keep it up. Yeah, absolutely. It's like, I know Mont Blanc. I don't have tons and tons of pins, but I love a good pin. So I know of the Mont Blanc does. That's true. Pins. Actually, I do have a Mont Blanc. My wife got it for me as a graduation pin. I just don't use it very often. It's kind of more just as a display. But they're very, very expensive pins. And so I would know that brand. But even if you didn't, right? Like, if you weren't a pin enthusiast, you might not know Mont Blanc makes really great pins. I think they sell other things too. I think they have some stores and some malls and stuff, but mainly it's their pin that they're most known for. And so, yeah, like, if I think that's a great tip. If you know something is good quality, look it up, right? Like, you can typically tell. I mean, that's some of the advice people have given me about going to the bins with clothing is like, once you know what good fabric feels like, you're not necessarily even looking for brands. Or once you know a good style or cut, that is what makes a difference. And so, yeah, if you know something is quality versus cheap, it makes all the difference in the world.
No, agreed. And you know, I've had this scenario too. So Colin, that's a great find. But like, I'll be in an estate sale and there's like these bags of pens. And it's not until somebody else picks it up that I'm like, wait a second. There could be gold in there. And it's happened before where I've seen people buy a whole stack of pens. I'm like, whoa, okay, I totally missed this. That's crazy. Well, hey, thank you everyone for sharing your hustle of the week. If people always ask us, like, how can I share it? You can DM us. You can, you know, leave it in the comments. The best way I'd say is email, because email, or you can always give us a call, 619-73-1170. That's 619-73-1170, and leave us a hustle of the week. All right, mine is pretty lengthy because there's two stories in one. So I'm going to ask you your hustle of the week, Mike.
All right, so my hustle of the week, I have a longer story that I'm going to share on our next update because this was kind of a cool like church rummage sale type thing I went to. Okay. But the church rummage sale I went to was put on by like a motorcycle club, like a Christian motorcycle club. And so there was lots of Harley stuff there. And I went on the second day, and so I missed a lot of things, I'm sure. And I didn't spend a ton of time with the Harley stuff because I figured they know what they have and what things are worth, but they were trying to get rid of things. And so they had lots of like saddlebags and various like accessories that go onto the motorcycles. And so there were some big saddlebags I didn't want to mess with. They were kind of priced up. I didn't want to deal with not knowing what I didn't know, you know, but there was a smaller bag that was could fit in like a smaller box. And so I'm like, okay, this is one I'd be more willing to take a risk on. They only want like $50 for it. Let me look it up and kind of see what's here. And sure enough, I think it's one that should sell for at least $150 to $200, depending. Nice. It's in pretty good shape. But even if I sell it for $150 plus shipping and I clear $100 net profit on this item, plus I know that money went to a good cause. The club was raising money for, I think, you know, some ministry thing that they were doing. So those church rummage sales are great. I love negotiating, but it's also kind of nice to go to a church rummage sale where you're not worried about negotiating and it's just the prices are good and you get what you get and you're not stressed about, okay, now what am I going to ask them and what am I willing to take? You just gladly give the price if it's in your price point. And yeah, I think it's going to be a good sale.
Nice, nice. No, you know, church rummage sales, they're usually good price, at least here in San Diego. Like I I don't think I maybe once negotiated, and then the rest of the time was like, why? And the reason I negotiated because they had crazy prices on their stuff. And so, and I still wanted to help out. So we agreed on a deal. Now, my story, you have to stay through it all. There's a lot to this story. So the first day going to the store, I shall not be named, the Goodwill bins here in San Diego. I was there the first day. It was the first day. Yeah, it was the first day. And second day. So first day I picked up a bunch of bats. I went the second day and I'm looking around, and this wasn't in the bins, but there was this like this black, like plastic chair. And it was for like kids. It wasn't like an adult sized chair. And it had a joystick on it. And there was a sticker on it that said hot seat. But what I noticed coming out of the joystick was a connection for an NES. You know, the you know, original Nintendos from the 80s and 90s. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. And it was only $8. So I did some research. I can't find comps anywhere. The only thing I found was a YouTube video put out by some guy called the Video Game Historian. So while I'm there, I watched the video, and he's talking about how this is rare. It was only made in the Midwest. There are not many produced. And so I'm like, you know, $8, it's worth a gamble, right? So I picked it up for $8. On the Discord, I shared, hey, everyone, I don't know if this is a hustle of the week, but I picked this up for $8. And, you know, people threw in their suggestions, and some people were like, hey, yeah, you know what? Just listed for, you know, I saw somebody on a forum say that they sold theirs for $250. So listed for $250 or like $500. And so I went on some forums. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to put this at auction for $1,000. No, I put it at auction at $10,000 with an offer of $1,000. Now, I never got $10,000, okay? But I like to aim high. And so everybody on Discord was like laughing at me, giving me a hard time in good fun, going like, here goes Orlando again, sky high. And I'm like, what? Let the market decide. Well, it didn't sell for a week. And then in the middle of that, there was the flooding that happened at my place. And so I had to move stuff around. And I knew this thing was valuable. And so I wanted to put this in a safe place. So in my at my house, I have my master bedroom, and I have a bathroom connected to it that has dual sink, and I have a walk-in closet. And, you know, I had to figure out where to put stuff. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to put this in the walk-in closet because it'll be safe. You know, no one's going to go in there. My kids won't accidentally hit it. Well, unfortunately, as I was carrying this thing to the walk-in closet, I tripped over one of the CRT TVs that were in my bedroom because of all the moving that we had to do. And I went flying, okay? I'm not a small man, okay? So I went flying, and I hugged that chair as if I was a running back diving into the end zone, okay, trying to get across that goal line. And I flew, and my head went directly into the corner of one of the side metal cabinet, the mirrors, like straight up, like rocked me. Like, I, you know, concussion almost status. I don't know. And I was like, whoo. And I looked at the chair, and I was like, man, I just put my life in danger for this chair. Because who knows? Like, I could have ended up in a really bad state. You know, I mean, you know, think about, you know, almost three bills flying to the corner of a mirror at full force with nothing stopping. It was bad. And then my son, he goes, Dad, did you really risk your life for that chair? I said, yes, son. This chair is worth some money. You know, we'll be okay. That's what medical insurance is for. So
you're going to spend more than that on your copays.
No, I know. It was bad. And I had a headache for like 2 days. Like, I got rocked. I'm fine now. It's been a few weeks. I got rocked. So then I'm like, all right, I'll list it again. And I had people ask me questions. So what I found out was that, yes, this is a hot seat. It's an aftermarket thing. And it's the first chair that has motion sensors. So it's before the Nintendo Wii ever had the motion sensors with the, you know, Joy-Cons and all that. And the motion sensors are in the joystick. And the joystick has like mercury in it, which is not safe. So you shouldn't open up the joysticks. But mine was special. Mine was a hot seat that had a hot stick, which was something sold separately. So I had a pretty unique one. Well, finally, somebody offered me $750 plus ship, and I took the offer, and it sold, and it made it safely. I think I sold it to somebody in Georgia. So there you go. $8 to $750, risked my life, and it all worked out. So
all worked out.
And I got it. It was a hard sell though. I wanted to keep it. It was so special, but I had to let it go. So just like, you know, Colin was saying, I never thought I had a hustle of the week. I never thought I would ever pick up something like this. Like this chair, honestly, so many people probably pass up on this chair. No one gave it a look. And you know, how was I supposed to research? There were no solds of this. Not even on WorthPoint. There's nothing on WorthPoint. So anyway, $750 later. All right. Thank you, everyone, for your hustles of the week. Hey, before we move on to our last couple items of eBay wishlist, tomorrow I'm running a whatnot. So if you want to get that free $15 to spend at my store or anybody's store, go to the link below and you'll get a free $15 to use on whatnot. All right, Mike. Do you stress out when you have to cancel an order?
Yeah, that's honestly one of my biggest stresses. I've only had to do it a handful of times, but a couple of times because of the move that we did where an item sold and for some reason, like I had brought all of them except for this one, like I had a set of items and like the one of them didn't make it. I think it was like one that was a little bit worse. So I threw it away and that was the one that sold. But for some reason, it didn't get delisted when I thought I delisted the things that I threw away before I moved. And so that was one I had to cancel, which was really frustrating. And I couldn't get the buyer wouldn't answer. And so, you know, you've got that debate of like, do I do the buyer requested cancel or do I just do out of stock and then take the ding? Okay. How many dings can I take? How many items have I sold in this period of time? Cause there's metrics, right? There's numbers that you have to reach. Like you can have so much of a default rate before you will lose your top rated seller. It would be nice if you kind of have this listed as if there was an option for top rated sellers, like a seller could choose to cancel and there wouldn't be repercussions. It might be nice if depending on the number of items you sold, maybe it wasn't even just top rated seller, but like for every so many items you sell, you get like one, like basically free defect, right? So after every 100 items you sell, there's like a free defect that you get. So if you get a late shipment, if you get a cancel order, that you can use that. You can have a seller choose to cancel and it's not going to hurt you. It's not going to ding you. Because sometimes you do have a bad week, right? Sometimes things happen. What if that thing happened to you with your seat and you hit your head real hard and you end up in the hospital in your hot seat for a couple of days and you had a couple of things, you know, late shipment because of that. Okay. Well, you know, you can handle a couple of defects on your account because you've got an account in good standing. But if it's like that plus this random thing that came up a week ago and that puts you over, you know, that would stink. So I think there should be a little bit of leeway that they give people with in good reputation. We talk about building a reputation all the time. And I think that's something that eBay could do to kind of just reward those good sellers. You know, if you're top rated, you have a certain number of items sell in a period of time, then it's like, hey, I had a late shipment here. It's not even going to count against you. Don't worry. Now, after you get that free one, okay, now it starts to count against you. You know, like when you play video games, there's like the shield, you know, and your shield has to go down before your health gets hit. I almost feel like there should be a little bit of a shield for those of us who've shown that we're a reputable seller because occasionally things do happen.
Well, yeah. And I think it would be, I don't know if fair is the right word, but you know, how many times you have a buyer that buys something and then out of nowhere, they're like, hey, can you cancel that? Right. They don't get dinged right now. You could report the buyer. I've done that. I don't know what happens to them when I report them. But, you know, buyers cancel stuff all the time. Like, I don't see the big deal. Or if you feel uncomfortable about a sale. Right. You get somebody that, you know, is really shady, like they buy it right off the bat. And then you go check their feedback and you notice that they leave a lot of negative feedback. Or, you know, you find out that they're a reseller and their, you know, feedback rating is like 50-something% or something horrible like that. And they have messages that, you know, this individual bought my item and then they return it destroyed. Like, what do you do then? Like, you only have so many options, right? It would just, yeah, I agree with you. Like, it would be nice if there was some kind of way. I just try to figure out a way that eBay, everything I share here is something that I think eBay could be agreeable with, right? Why not reward the good sellers? Why not reward the top rated sellers? Reward those that don't cancel orders, reward those that offer free returns. Like it would just be helpful because, you know, we're not perfect, right? Or, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I think about how many, useless things have come up lately on eBay when it comes to feedback. So for example, like now people can add pictures to feedback. How many pictures have you seen in your feedback, Mike, since that has been introduced?
None.
Yeah, zero. Let us know in the comments. If you have had somebody leave pictures as part of their feedback, let us know in the comments, because I guarantee it's pretty much zero. Or the other thing that they introduced, verified purchase. Isn't everybody verified? Like, I don't understand. Like, what are we talking about? Like, are there fake people that buy stuff from us in the, you know, on eBay? Like, I don't understand it. Like, it doesn't make sense. So instead of focusing energy on stuff like that, which really doesn't help sellers out, focusing energy on incentives, like I keep saying incentives, where, you know, sellers are you know, saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to make sure that I have everything in stock. I'm going to make sure everything's right, because I know that eBay gives me leeway, but I don't want to waste that leeway. I don't want to waste that one, you know, get out of jail card defect. Instead of, you know, doing all these other things, which I don't know if buyers look at, you know, was these feedback verified purchase? Are there pictures? No. Instead, you know, help the sellers on the other end. Now, I don't know how you feel about this. This is something I liked, because maybe I'm just, I don't know, I need help. But it'd be nice if, you know, when you complete a listing, you know, and if you're missing information, let's say you're missing shipping information, return information, you know, you didn't put a price in, it doesn't let you complete the listing. It would be nice if they did that for if you didn't put a custom SKU. Now, let me add to that, because some people will be like, well, I never use custom SKU. That's cool. So what they could do is they could just put a toggle somewhere, like maybe in business or shipping policies, that you could choose for it to not let you list an item until you put your custom SKU. Because how many times have you sold something and there's no custom SKU? And you're like, what? I know I put that, or whatever it is. And chances are that it was you. Like, I, you know, whenever I find something that's sold and there's no custom SKU, I don't blame eBay. I blame myself. I'm like, how did I not put a custom SKU on here? Like, that's crazy. And next thing you know, I'm spending half an hour, whatever, trying to find that item. Right. So it'd be nice if I could somehow choose for eBay to kind of regulate my listing, that it won't let me finish a listing until I put that custom SKU. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it would just kind of clean up the process, make it a little bit easier, and it would just be an option just right there. Yeah, I think that wouldn't hurt. You know, you can lock this in the same way you can lock, you know, search filters. You should be able to lock certain things on and almost have a customizable listing page.
Yeah, or you know, I don't know. I thought of different toggles. Like, how many times have, you know, I don't know if there's a solution, but I, you know, recently I sold something that weighed about like 40 pounds and somehow I had free shipping on it. And I'm like, what? Like, I had free shipping on this? And it'd be nice if there was some kind of alert, like, hey, by the way, you're offering free shipping on an item that weighs over 25 pounds. Are you sure you want to do this? Like, I think that would be great, because, you know, when the item sells, like, could I cancel it? Sure. But then I run into that problem we just talked about. Like, what option do I have to cancel? Like, is there an option that says made a mistake on the listing? No, it's just out of stock. You know, buyer chose to cancel or, you know, issue with the address. That's the only options. But it would be nice if I could cash that right away, because, you know, for example, that sale, I ended up, you know, I lost $70 profit because I offered free shipping where the buyer was supposed to pay for the shipping. And in the end, I was out that money. Now, that was my fault, right? And if I don't put a custom SKU label, that's my fault too. But I'm just trying to find a way that eBay can streamline the process to help you be a better seller, right? To do things better and just improve. And I can't see why eBay wouldn't want resellers to improve and get better at what they're doing. So hopefully all of these eBay wish lists, let us know your eBay wish list on the bottom, what you hope to see, because I'm telling you, eBay is watching this one and they'll look at your comments. And by the way, eBay, we invite, if anybody from eBay wants to come over and like do an interview with us, but I do say that with a little bit of an addition of like, allow us, you know, maybe send you the question, then you could choose whether to answer or not. But we want to be real. We want to be real with eBay about stuff. I love eBay. eBay has been great. We talk a lot about how eBay, you know, messes that up. But overall, eBay is the reason why I'm a full-time reseller. So hopefully this eBay wish list gets to the right people. Hopefully some of you resonated with all of this, and hope everyone enjoyed the podcast. With that being said, make sure to be real.
Be relevant.
And be reselling.
Peace.